Welcome to the NSCA Coaching Podcast, Season 9, Episode 14.
You know, the expectations in the weight room, you know, having my own expectations, and they know that, you know, Coach Swift is going to come with it, and you can't come with anything less. All I want is all you got. And, you know, some guys, I'll let them know ahead of time, like, this is, you know, think about this being a renovation. You know, there's no renovation without demolition. And in the weight room, this is the demo zone. We're literally breaking your body down, and we're going to teach you how to recoup and recover and build yourself back up.
This is the NSCA's Coaching Podcast, where we talk to strength and conditioning coaches about what you really need to know but probably didn't learn in school. There's strength and conditioning, and then there's everything else.
This is the NSCA Coaching Podcast. I'm Eric McMahon. Today we're joined by Keith Swift, the Director of Strength and Conditioning at Wofford College in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Coach Swift, great to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Coach. It's great to be here.
Yeah, you oversee strength and conditioning for all 20 varsity sports at Wofford. That's a huge responsibility. Can you walk us through what that looks like day to day and how you and your staff manage training across the department?
Well, it's definitely an atypical experience. It's a unique task unto itself. So we pretty much, with it being a very academically rigorous school, we have to, of course, adhere to college first. You know, academics definitely comes first here at Wofford, and rightfully so. So our first group is going to be at 6 a.m., like most places, and we'll go all the way up until our last group, starting at around 6 p.m. and finishing at 7. We have a staff of four, two full-time and two paid interns, myself, of course, and then my associate strength coach, Coach Gavin Hopkins, and then we'll have two paid interns. And we're all pretty much managed anywhere from three to four sports each. And then that's kind of how we tackle everything. And then there's basketball. They have their strength coach, men's and women's basketball. They have TJ Bell, who also who handles them. And yeah, that's kind of like how we handle it, basically. It's from about 6 a.m. Well, we get here a minimum. We're required to be here at least 30 minutes before any obligatory activities. And right about 5:30. So from about 6 a.m. Until, like I said, 7 p.m. we're rolling. And we'll go from 6 a.m. to about right around like 10, up until about 10 every day is pretty much back to back. It's a blitz. So we're rolling. And then right around, with the exception of Tuesdays and Thursdays, Tuesday and Thursdays, you have that convocation hour, like a lot of colleges, from like 11 to 1. And that's that hour, that block is humming. And then we'll pick right back up around 1 o'clock each day, where, again, we're just going back to back to back to back. So it's definitely, you know, of course, we're alternating, and, you know, each sport, coach is responsible for their sport directly. I don't hover or micromanage my staff. I just step in when needed. I think, you know, we have a great machine rolling to where, you know, the young coaches can develop themselves, and I can help develop them and impart my expertise on them. But for the most part, yeah, we're rocking and rolling pretty much all day, every day.
So you have football in the mix there too. Does that take up a lot of the time in the weight room, having such a big team in addition to all those sports?
Of course, we all hands are on deck for football. So all four strength coaches, again, with the exception of basketball, because they have their needs separately. So we're pretty much all hands on deck, unless we have, you know, we have to share the weight room, for example. So if we have a smaller team that can fit in, we go with small groups with football. So we're not typically going three groups a day, with the exception of summer. Right now, we go two groups. So we'll go three groups on the day to day, the days that they lift, and we rock it out like that. And so, yeah, we make it work. We make it work. And luckily, we're on the cusp of renovation finally. Nice. So we're about to expand our area and get some more working stations to where we can, you know, kind of meet the needs of our athletic departments, which is going to be we're really excited about that. It's going to be a great thing. We're really excited.
Yeah, facilities are a big part of what we do, obviously having the right equipment to train your teams. Let's get into that a little bit. Where are you at as you're planning a new facility or renovating? What are the main needs you're looking out for?
Well, of course, the nuts and bolts. We don't get too specific, dare I say. Of course, we have to on this level, on the FCS level or mid-major level. We want to make sure that we address the needs of every sport. You have your rotational sports that we want to make sure that we address those needs as well. So we've done that. We've outfitted a room with some Kaiser equipment. On our upcoming renovation, there'll be some more equipment that we'll have to make sure we address that concern as well. But for the most part, we're going to hit our nuts and bolts. You're going to have your standard, rack, your dumbbells and bars, and your regular rigs, that you would normally have. But again, we're just more so increasing our capacity. We are going to add on like some neck machines, get our for our contact sports, so we can really actually address that in a better manner. So that I am excited about as well. Just again, I think we're doing, there as modestly and humbly as I can say, I think we're doing a really good job of taking care of our athletes, and I'm just excited to do an even better job, which is always the goal, is keep getting better as a coach and get better as a program.
Yeah, digging into your bio, you've been at several college programs. I see South Carolina State, Purdue, University of South Alabama, and Stillman College.
Oh yeah.
How have those different experiences and environments shaped your coaching philosophy at Wofford?
Well, generally, I mean, my coaching philosophy has always stayed the same, which is educate, heal, and enhance. Just generally speaking, educate, because we want the athlete to know the why behind it. And quick story behind that, like when I played football at Tennessee Tech, we didn't have a strength coach set. So permanently, well, when I first got there my freshman year, Zach Reed, who's at shout out to Zach Reed, who's at University of Arkansas right now. And he was a GA who was the full-time strength coach, which is again weird dynamic at the time, but it was what it was. And then he left, and then our football coaches ran our strength program. And then we got my senior year, we got a full-time strength coach who was solely for strength and conditioning, Chip Pugh. I don't think he's coaching anymore. But nonetheless, during that period, we had our football coaches didn't really, especially as an exercise science major, I started to learn, like, we're doing some stuff that we don't necessarily need to do as football players. It's tough, but like this ain't helping me. So we want to make sure, and we would ask, hey, why are we doing this? And they were just like, just shut up and do it. So it's pretty much the answer we got. So I always, as a aspiring strength coach, made sure that like when I'm in charge or when I have that control, I want to make sure my athletes know the why, so they can put forth a little bit more effort. It's not an aim, not aimlessly just doing activity. So education is number one. Healing, and of course, we can't eliminate injuries. Injuries are going to happen, but our goal as a coach, as a program, is to reduce the occurrence of, and of course that the return to play time, the time that they are out for that injury. So you want to try to decrease the amount of time that they're out, and enhance is basically what everybody thinks strength coaches do. We get them bigger, faster, and stronger, and just enhance performance. So all those stops that you name, Stillman being my first collegiate stop. Fortunate to create that program, I was the first strength coach there. Building that from the ground up was a challenge. I was the only one. I think I had 14 sports, I believe, by myself. And that was a time. I definitely cut my teeth as a strength coach there. And a lot of people shy away from situations like that. Wasn't paying a whole lot. Well, at the time, it was decent. I think I was making around 30 to 35, and this was 2011. I was able to live off of it, definitely. Inflation hadn't kicked in as much as it has now. So definitely couldn't make that work now, in my opinion. But nonetheless, so like, that was always the crux of my philosophy. So I carried that everywhere. Only from Stillman to South Alabama to, and where I was an assistant, that changed, of course, because I was an assistant versus being the head guy. So I, adapted to the head guy's philosophy, and we just kind of rolled in. But it's always my passion again to make sure we educate, do things that are going to help, reduce injuries, and again, make our athletes better. Same thing as South Carolina State, and just go on and on again to Purdue, again, where I'm back being an assistant, and again, just falling in line, being another cog in the machine. But again, staying true again to my philosophy and just working within the machine, if that makes sense. So I always carried it with me. Only thing is that we kind of got We got a little bit more, I guess you could say, specified to each position and each unique situation that we were in. So we just adapted to where we were, where our feet are, were, and we've taken it basically. Again, even here at Wofford, we're still educating. We want to make sure that they understand why. And we do. And again, as I aforementioned, we got some smart kids. This is an academic school. Academics come first. And so, us speaking in actual terms, teaching them actual terms, versus, hey, they know what abduction, adduction is. We want to make sure that we say that. Don't just raise your leg like this. We can call things a proper term. We don't have to dumb it down. And I think that speaks to, again, our ability to coach. And again, just putting our finger on the pulse of education. Because again, the biggest reward in that is that when they start to coach each other and they have a lot of peer coaching and they're using proper terms and they're doing things the right way, that's like the biggest pat on the back and the biggest reward, especially being a coach. So so our philosophy, again, is developed, but it's pretty much stayed the same. It just kind of varies from assignment to assignment.
Yeah, that's huge. You talk about strength and conditioning as an education environment, teaching the why to your players, especially the inquisitive ones. And you talk about being at an academic school where you probably have quite a few inquisitive players that they want to make themselves better and aren't afraid to ask that why for themselves. I saw you also had some experience in professional baseball and the private sector. Were those significantly different experiences for you than the strength and conditioning you're doing today, or what was that like for you?
The working with the Mariners and working in the private sector are very similar in the fact that you have to not necessarily individualize some things, but almost semi-individualize some things. Because again, as someone might assume in professional baseball, you got money, so there's egos involved, and then you got guys who are, trying to make money. So like they want things that are going to speak to them and address their needs. So, I'm very grateful for my experience and my time, under James Clifford, who was a head strength coach at the time, or head of sports performance coordinator, at the time, and helping me develop that. But what we did was really monumental. I still use a lot of those things that we did back then, now to this day, as far as like the developing thing. That was my first introduction, my first experience with post-activation potentiation. Saw we would do a lot of testing and retesting, and you saw the effects thereof in season. So it was great to be able to do that. And then with Parisi, I'm kind of more of the same, where I don't I took a taken a lot of things as far as my speed program and made it my own, but that was my foundation, for many years. And of course, over the years, and that was, again, 2000 and what I guess that was 2010, 20 2009. Oh wow, that was a long time ago. 2009, when I had that experience. So, but it's still, that was again my foundation. But you're dealing with personalities. That's how they're similar. And the politics, of course, with professional sports that you deal with. Those experiences, and it's kind of like, again, we focus on education, and because one place you're definitely going to get questions is with professional athletes and with young kids, or in the private sector. So that's again a lot of them the same. And some of the professional athletes act like kids. So then there's that. So one prepares you for another, if that makes any sense at all. It was a great experience, especially working with the Mariners. Growing up a '90s kid, I got to see Ken Griffey Jr. in 2010. When he was, on his last hurrah. That's probably the biggest starstruck moment of my life. Walking beside and seeing Ken Griffey Jr. in the weight room, and then seeing Ichiro in there. And again, just absolute. You want to talk about defying physics, defying like things that don't make sense. It's definitely Ichiro, and how he would come in the weight room and literally just stretch and use a body blade. I don't know if that's still a thing anymore. People still use those. And would go out and absolutely just be a Hall of Famer, and so, and you would try to wrap your mind as a scientist, trying to like, man, how does this doesn't make any sense? How is he able to do this? And some things just defy common sense or logic. So, but nonetheless, yeah, both of those experiences working at Parisi and with the Mariners definitely prepared me for my future assignments, and I'm definitely grateful for those experiences.
Yeah, that's huge. Performance looks different for everyone. One thing you alluded to is a hot topic today, players making money with their
Oh, yeah.
sport. Is that something NIL, transfer portal, all the different topics that are in the media right now, is that something you're seeing at Wofford? Has it changed your weight room at all?
Fortunately not. The portal, yes, but the NIL, we haven't had those problems as a lot of my colleagues, and I thank the good Lord for that. Well, I will say, like, the transfer portal, that it hit us pretty hard, hit our football team pretty hard in this past as after last season. But the good thing, the portal giveth and the portal taketh away. So we read up, we got a lot of good talent, we got a good foundation. I think the hardest thing is from a training perspective would probably actually, let me go back. I'd probably say the biggest thing from a coaching perspective, because coaching is an art form, would be reaching the guys and building that camaraderie, those interpersonal relationships, getting those new guys to buy in, understand the standard, knowing, like, hey, what's acceptable and what is not. Especially in the world of football, I mean, it's effort based. A lot of it is effort based. All of it is effort based. Let me take that back. So, and then helping coach carry out the vision, helping Coach Watson carry out the vision and the mission, and again, the standard being what it is here at Wofford, and the expectations in the weight room, having my own expectations, and they know that, Coach Swift is going to come with it, and you can't come with anything less. All I want is all you got, and some guys, I'll let them know ahead of time, like, this is. Think about this being a renovation. There's no renovation without demolition. And in the weight room, this is the demo zone. We're literally breaking your body down, and we're going to teach you how to recoup and recover and build yourself back up. And that's, part is on you. And so, like, guys, it's great to see those light bulbs, like, turning on. But we get those new guys in. We're doing a great job. I think this is year three, actually, as of Tuesday. Be three. It's been I've been here 3 years now, and it's very rewarding to see the guys who've been with me this whole time kind of pass it along, pass that expectation down to the new guys, and just kind of and it's great to hear what guys or really all our athletes think of me, and what they what the rumor is circling around on campus. Some of it is definitely wrong, but it's great for them to see that, at the end of the day, when that clock strikes and it's time to work, that we're gonna work. You're gonna get some calluses on your hands, and, some sweat on your brow, and that's the expectation, because we're trying to win, and Coach Swift is gonna do his part to try to help you get a ring, a championship ring on one hand, and whatever it is, if I can help at all, which not so much here at Wofford, a degree in the other hand. So it's so for the most part, yeah. It's unfortunately the portal has probably been our biggest hurdle, in regards to that question.
Okay. Yeah, that's sort of what I've been hearing from other coaches. Some schools, these are huge topics, while other colleges and universities, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
Everybody's aware of what's going on.
Absolutely.
And, I think, the sentiment you shared of you seem happy that maybe it hasn't changed your entire approach or philosophy, and you haven't had to adapt too much just yet. With all the changes going on. With that said, what are the biggest challenges you see for collegiate athletes that strength and conditioning coaches can b help their universities with?
I think the biggest thing is, first thing that comes to mind would be my experience, when I was working in Major League Baseball. It's similar to that. With money comes some power, and I think that our college athletes nowadays have, they're the most powerful that they've ever been, and in regards to authority. And some of the horror stories that I've heard, well, what do you do with a kid who's making more than you, decides to say, nah, I'm good, or I don't want to do this today, versus, back in the day, I say back in the day, with a smile on my face, I don't even know what back in the day means anymore, but kicking got, hey, all right, well, if you don't want to work, then all right, see you, clock out, we'll try it again another day, maybe. And, we're running this up the flagpole to the coach, you know what I mean? So having those loopholes and those hurdles, again, very glad that I don't have to deal with that to a certain extent. But honestly, I'm just kind of weary. I don't really know how we regulate that as a the NCAA or even as strength coaches. I think more so like coming out with, being an authority figure, saying, hey, you're gonna do it or whatever. I think I've heard of coaches having to compromise, which I think some things there's no compromise for hard work. So maybe I'm an old fogey in that aspect. But I think like I'm all for making things relative. As long as we're both getting the same thing, maybe a guy doesn't put a whole lot of weight on the bar. Maybe he just moves weight for speed, and that's perfectly fine. But I think that there's a time and a place for a little grit and a little strain. And I honestly just kind of narrow it down. If we get into the off season, that's the time to do it. So we're gonna, it's time to get tough. And I think that, you get somebody who's maybe a little bit more reluctant to do that. I don't really know how you handle that. It's but again, it's. I had to thank the Lord above. I don't have to deal with that as of right now.
Yeah. Well, not every athlete's going to be as motivated in the weight room as we are to coach them in the weight room, and that's one of the inherent challenges of being a strength and conditioning coach. I know a lot of our listeners can connect with that. I saw in your bio you've had the opportunity to coach over 30 NFL athletes. When you have athletes that are exceptionally talented, what are the key principles you key in on to prepare them for that next level of pressure and performance?
I think it kind of alludes to more so of like, we don't, you haven't made it yet. So we get past the entitlement that one might have when they're on the cusp of achieving a lifelong dream. So it's, I'm an old country guy. So I'm all about the hard work. I'm all about the of good, smart, hard, smart work, dare I say. What we did before, I think that we, I run a tier system. Shout out to Joe Ken. And so I'm all about developing athleticism, training in multiple planes of motion, and pushing the envelope. I'm really big progression and regression guy. And also like I just believe in developing athleticism and where that comes out. And we kind of semi-individualize it as far as like our philosophy and those who can will, and those who can't won't. So we'll keep them where they are until they're able to, get there and safely. But we're not afraid to push you at your absolute limit, of course being safe. So and unfortunately, like, we've gotten really great results, and again, like you said, like it's been over 30 guys, with Purdue being my only Power Four stop. I think, a lot, my situation, my blessing is unique. So I'm glad to say, be able to watch that. And by all means, I am not saying I am the reason why these guys went to the NFL. For any and everybody out there listening, I'm just glad to be a part of their process. And glad to watch them and still be able to say, hey, I know that guy, on Sundays, Thursdays, and Mondays.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome to have an impact from Wofford, from the different institutions you've been a part of, and then see athletes go on to do great things. And you know, one thing, especially at a school like that, there's student athletes going on to do great things in other areas outside of sport as well. And that's something to
Absolutely.
celebrate in our field. You know, lots of great insight from you today, and I really appreciate everything you shared. I know some of our listeners are going to want to reach out, talk to you, get to know you even more. What's the best way for them to do that?
Well, I'm across all platforms, I guess you can say. On Twitter or X, I'm on Coach Swift 93. Swift like Taylor. I joke around and say Taylor is my niece, but she's not. So Coach Swift 93 on X, on Instagram, workout is WORQUEOWT on Instagram. And of course, just Keith Swift on LinkedIn. So if you want to email me, you can email my at Wofford, it'll be Swift K and D as in dog at wofford.edu. And just wherever you can find me, I'm always willing, first and foremost, to learn from other colleagues, no matter what age or expertise level. And of course, just should be able to share my own. So, we all iron sharpens iron, as the old adage says. So please, by all means, please reach out.
Coach Swift, thanks again for joining us today, sharing your journey, your insights into athlete development, and adapting to the evolving college sports landscape are incredibly valuable for everyone. To our listeners, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the NSCA Coaching Podcast. If you'd like to connect with Coach Swift, be sure to check out the episode notes for his contact info. We'll put those in there. Thanks to our sponsor, Soren-X Exercise Equipment. We appreciate their support. And until next time, keep leading, keep learning, and keep making an impact in the field. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of the NSCA Coaching Podcast. We value you as a listener, just as we value your input as a member of the NSCA community. To take action and get involved, check out volunteer leadership opportunities under membership at nsca.com.
This was the NSCA's Coaching Podcast. The National Strength and Conditioning Association was founded in 1978 by strength and conditioning coaches to share information, resources, and help advance the profession. Serving coaches for over 40 years, the NSCA is the trusted source for strength and conditioning professionals. Be sure to join us next time.